one day.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A blessed good morning to all those who have tuned into the Because He Lives program, sponsored by Federal Motor Spirits, located on the Bank Hall Main Road and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. I am Margaret Eversley, pastor of the Thought Scottish Church of the Nazarene. Last 2 weeks, we looked at Haggai chapter 1 under the theme, God's Call to Evaluate Our Priorities. We stressed the principle of putting God first. After God sent Haggai with a firm rebuke to the remnant of Judah for neglecting to complete the rebuilding of the temple, the people promptly obeyed and restarted the work. Today, I will be pulling some thoughts from Haggai chapter 2 under the theme, The Benefits of Obedience to God. The book of Haggai, though small, contains four main messages from God to the people. I dealt with the first last week. Today, I will briefly look at the other three. Let us begin by reading Haggai chapter 2, 1-9. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But no, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord for his wonderful word this morning. So, we notice now that God spoke to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, Joshua, son of the high priest, first. These were the leaders. That should tell us something. Then he spoke to the people. When God speaks to people through their leaders, he expects obedience. In chapter 1, God began his first message to the people with a question. Asking questions is one of God's strategies to induce thinking on our part. There were some who were older than 70 years who would have known Solomon's temple and the beauty of that temple. It seems they were comparing the first temple with this second one as they laid the foundation. Comparing is a key to discouragement. God did not ignore or turn a blind eye to their situation. He knew what they were thinking and the feeling. And so he asked the question, who is left that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? God knew there were those who knew the first temple, but that was his way to change their focus from discouragement to encouragement. He understood and he cares for them. And he still understands and cares for us in our times of discouragement. Because we can become easily discouraged when we become involved in serving the Lord and doing his work. So God sent a message of encouragement. To the prophet, he told Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the people, be strong, not in themselves, but strong in the Lord. Paul admonished the Ephesians 6:9, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That also includes us. Leaders and followers of Christ must take a strong stand against discouragement. It is of the devil. This is the road to despair, doubt, and delay. He told them, work. In other words, get up and work. Persevere. I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. These are the best words any leader and followers of God can hear, though. If I am is with you, close your ears to the critics whose goal is to discourage you. Not all criticism will be bad, but it's how it is done. Be aware that sometimes the discouragement comes from opposition within, which could be worse. We are not building a physical temple. We are engaged in building the kingdom of God through righteousness, which comes from Him alone. We are the righteousness of God if we keep our priorities right. The Jews may have feared hostility from their enemies, but God reminded them that He is the Lord of hosts, the sovereign ruler over all the armies of heaven and earth. If the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, if we are serving Him, then nothing can happen to us without His permission. Assurance of God's knowledge and presence should lift our discouragement and enable us to press on. According to Psalm 3:3, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts up my head." In times of discouragement, God tenderly lifts our head, looks us into our eyes, exalts us, and let us know that we are not alone. He, the great I Am, is with us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He reminded them of the covenant promise He made with them when they came out of Egypt. God always keeps His covenant. They broke covenant with God, but He declared that despite their unfaithfulness, His Spirit remained with them. And that should comfort us this morning, that even when we are unfaithful, that God is still with us. He said, "Do not fear, trust me." We hear Jesus echoing the same thing. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." God is saying to us, do not allow the failures of the past or even the victories to keep you from going forward. Sometimes, you know, we can stay on the mountain rejoicing too long when there's work to be done in the valley. In times of discouragement, listen for the reassuring voice of God through focusing on the relevant promises. Now, according to Hebrews 8, 6b, we have even a better covenant than the children of Israel had, which was established on better promises. Jesus sealed that covenant with His blood, and He promised us the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to serve Him because He knew we cannot make it alone on our own. God encouraged them through promises of His presence in their present circumstances. He reminded them of the past, and then He directed them to look beyond the past, the present, and have a peep into the future, a promise of hope, looking forward. This is God's strategy for dealing with discouragement, you know. We must have a sharp reflection on the past. Do not stay too long in the rearview mirror. You may never get to your destination. But look at the present. Look at where you are. Then use hope to think of your future. In verses 6 to 9, God encouraged them with a prophecy. When we have something to look forward to, it motivates and inspires. God knew that they would not have experienced that prophecy in their lifetime. Where did He give it? Was He fooling them? No. He was speaking into the future, which they would enjoy after He returned. None of us knows the future. The content of the prophecy, it says, "A shaking of the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land, and all nations. He would fill this temple with glory. The glory of the latter shall be greater than that of the former. He will give peace." Just as the hearers in Judah would not have fully grasped or experienced the meaning, we too have some difficulty in pinning down the meaning. God used it to motivate the people to continue doing His work. It is a prophecy from God and it shall be fulfilled. God told them, "Wait in a little while." We do not understand when God's little while will come to an end, but it will come. Just do not be like the 5 foolish virgins. I believe it refers ultimately to the second coming of Christ, when God will shake the heavens and the earth, according to Joel 3:16, Matthew 24:29, Revelation 16:18 to 20, and conquer all the rebellious nations. This verse was quoted in the New Testament. The only verse for Haggai quoted in the New Testament is found in Hebrews 12:26 to 27. So this piece is important. Taking heed to this prophecy can benefit us by keeping our focus on Almighty God. We should guard against allowing what we do not fully understand to hinder us from what we fully understand. The Lord also says that he will fill this house, meaning that temple, with glory, and that the latter glory of that house will be greater than the former. This verse probably refers to the coming of Jesus in the temple. Remember, he was offered in that temple. He did his teachings in that temple. And they want to say to their people, Jesus' presence made it even more glorious in that temple than Solomon's temple. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no temple. For according to Revelation 21:22, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are his temple. In his first coming, Jesus preached peace to both Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2:17. We have peace with God and with one another when we trust in his shed blood. Romans 5:1. But true and a lasting peace for this will only come when Jesus returns. Haggai prophecy from God is that the Lord of hosts has final triumph of the kingdom of his son. Therefore, we should be encouraged in our work for him, knowing that our work in the Lord is never in vain. That is the message he was trying to convey to the children of Israel as they rebuilt the temple. The third message from God also begins with questions. Similar to the first message, it was one of rebuke. Not because of the neglect of building the temple at that time, but in the rebuilding activity, there were some whose focus was to get the construction done. They thought since they rebuilt God's temple, he would bless them. That was right in a sense, but their hearts were not wicked before God. They were not drawing near to him with clean hands and pure hearts. So Haggai delivers this message to let them know that while they are to keep working on the temple, they were required to do it from hearts that are wicked before God. Outward religion is never enough. God looks on the heart. God gave Haggai this message in the form of an object lesson, requiring Haggai to answer the questions surrounding the objects. God is such an awesome teacher. In this church age, the Holy Spirit does just the same. Then God informed the prophet of the condition of his people. God said, "The work of their hands are unclean." We cannot get away with fooling God. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? The Holy Spirit gave revelation to Peter about their actions. The remnant of Judah that returned were to be commended. They volunteered to return. They made the difficult commitment to leave their familiar circumstances in Persia and return to Jerusalem. We observe their commitment to the Lord in that one of the first things they did when they got back was to rebuild the altar for sacrifices and to lay the foundation for the temple. We conclude from God's message to the prophet, to these people, that we can be involved in the programs of the church. We can give our money, time, talents. We can even be on the administrative board of a church. We can even be pastors. But if your heart is not clean before God, you are defiling everything you touch. That is serious, people. Haggai 2:11-13 speaks to that. We must live out the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God repeats the same word that he repeated in chapter 1. Consider two times in the first section, in chapter 1, and now two times in this section, in chapter 2. It literally means set your heart or fix your attention on this. What God wanted the remnant to consider was a living out of holy lives before him. What he wants us to consider is to seek first his kingdom from righteous hearts, living in holiness. He took them down memory lane. Good to go down memory lane sometimes. He told them, consider all the negative experiences they had encountered before a stone was laid in the temple. People, learn this truth. It is not always the devil who reminds us of the past. Sometimes it is God who wants us to see the distance he brought us and evaluate ourselves. When such happens, it evokes praises, worship, thanksgiving, and even tears at times. The chorus says, "Father, look where you brought me from. I was out in the world doing as I pleased." But no, there's a difference. The devil's reminder of our past is to torment us, make us feel unworthy. Tell him he is a big liar. Always have been and will be forever. God closes this message with a question again. Do not despise God's method of questioning. It has purpose and you will not move on until you answer his questions. He questions us to assist us in evaluating and taking stock of our lives. So we need to take frequent inventory of our lives, beginning on the heart level. God promised the children of Judah, I will bless you. That promise is extended to us. Just obey him and experience the benefits of obedience. Moses in Deuteronomy 28:3-14 introduced the children of Israel to a package of blessings. He said, if they hearken diligently unto the voice of God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, and all these blessings shall come on you. Not only come on you, they shall come on you and overtake you. I reread those blessings with keen eyes and understanding. And every one of them relates to the needs of us all. One of the most important blessings mentioned is that God shall establish a holy people unto himself. The premise of this is walking in obedience to God. Those blessings were not for the children of Israel only. We are Abraham's children too, and we can claim them if we meet the conditions. We can now understand that what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. The fourth and final message of Haggai was sent from God directly to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. You may ask why. He also experienced some discouragement. Only a small amount, remnant of about 50,000 Jews had returned under Cyrus' permission. And we know when we see small crowds, we get discouraged with small crowds too. But they were still under Persian rule and surrounded by hostile neighbors. Amidst the discouraging circumstances, God chose Zerubbabel and he willingly cooperated with God's plan for him. Zerubbabel could have said no to God. Like so many of us, he could have found several legitimate excuses to use in his defense. We are surrounded by hostile and powerful nations, he could have said, and we are subject to the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth. No, so-called powerful nations never scare God yet, and they will not do so now. So God told Zerubbabel, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdom. I will overthrow the chariots and their riders. I will take you, Zerubbabel. I will make you like a signet ring. I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. If God says that he has the power to do it, people, when we look at all that is happening and all that are being promised to happen around us and in this world, it can shake us, making the future look bleak. Today, God is saying, do not be dismayed. I am still your God. The world is not out of God's control as we think. Not a dot from God's plan will fail. The sovereign God has all the events of history under his control, whether we want to believe it or not. They are designed for his purpose. His ability to accomplish his sovereign purpose does not depend on the resources of man. We hear him declaring on the same Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6-9 speaks to the plan of God to elevate Zerubbabel. He promised to make every great mountain become a plain. That meant nothing would be a hindrance from him fulfilling God's plan. In the same manner, people must choose to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Indeed, God commands them to repent and believe the gospel. He knows our potential. We have no idea where he will lead once we commit to following him. God told Zerubbabel he would make him like a signet ring. The signet ring is a symbol of authority given to kings. While he never sat on the throne, he's included in both of the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Matthew 1:12, Luke 3:27. So God's promise of his choice of Zerubbabel as his signet ring spoke of God's encouragement and hope to a discouraged man. He is given a place of honor and authority. We too have a place of honor and authority in God's kingdom if we obey him. God's message to his church and to individual believers in these frightening times, when the world and personal events will want to bring about fear, is God's word is still, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom, according to Luke 12:32. The doctrine of God's choosing us should comfort, encourage, and strengthen us when we face hard times. Jesus said in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. They built the physical temple of God, and Christ is building the spiritual temple, which is his church. Christ is the signet ring and through whom all divine purposes are sealed. After the final shaking of the nations, we shall receive a kingdom that cannot be removed. And all nations shall walk in the light of God, and we shall be all in all according to Revelation 5:9. But to serve him as we should, we must trust his promises about what he's going to do in the future. People, our God reigns. Don't be afraid. Our God reigns. When we purposefully set about to give God his rightful place in our lives, obeying Him as our Creator, Redeemer, Savior, King of His kingdom, we will experience the benefits as God alone will release. I only dealt with a few as documented in the test. Encouragement. God is a great encourager. It is seen through His word. He provides a highway of holiness and teaches us from His word how to travel on that highway, sending His Holy Spirit to keep us in check. Ephesians 1:3 states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." When we choose to follow Christ, we become joint heirs with Him. We will share in all He has. Hallelujah. Doesn't that move you? Psalm 68:19 states, "Daily He loads us up with blessings, even the God of our salvation." We receive spiritual blessings along with material blessings, people. Today is a day of opportunity for all those who are not walking in obedience to God. I say start now. Now is a day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The benefits of obedience are of eternal value. The only things that you can take with you. All that we put before Christ and we fight for and we destroy our health for and we go after. We can't take anything with us. Because the Bible said that there will be a new earth. So all these fancy buildings that we have, these fancy homes that we have. No, I'm not saying don't have a fancy home. God wants that for you. That be part of His blessings. But there shall be no more. But God will stand forever. God's word will stand forever. And all the blessings that He has given to you, you will have them forever. So I'm saying it's worth it all. It is worth it all to give up all for God. Jesus was not talking foolishness when He tells us to put God's kingdom first because He knows what is in God's kingdom. Paul said he counted all his achievements, all the things he had occurred. He was a great achiever. He had qualifications that some of us would never ever dream of having, even in that age. And know what he said? He counted all as garbage that he may know Christ and the power of His resurrection. This morning, God wants us to come to that place where we see Him as the all in all, the be all in all. Without Him, we can't do nothing. Yes, the people are doing a lot of things without God, but they're not eternal. They're not enduring. They are going to pass. They are going to pass like a breath. Our lives are just a vapor, and we're here this minute. And next minute, we won't give anybody notice we're gone. This morning, I want to appeal to all of us to let us put God first in our lives. Let us obey God's word. Let us live for God. We are going to see the benefits of our obedience in the sweet by and by. We're going to experience something down here, yes. But let me tell you something. You know how wonderful it would be when we meet heaven? It said that heaven is a beautiful place filled with glory and grace. I don't know, but you want to go there. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word today. May it bring life to all those who hear it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time, I would like to close with this song, "Whatever Your Plan" by Josie Buchanan. "Whatever Your Plan" by Josie Buchanan. God bless all of you as you listen to this song.
come.